Good morning, everyone. My name is David, and I'm one of the congregation here. And this morning, we are learning about walking with God. And that's a good way to start the year. How are you doing with those New Year's resolutions? Yes, I know it was a week ago. Which ones did you make? Most of us have either forgotten them or didn't make any. I've had a look at the internet. Good housekeeping, not my usual reading material. Good housekeeping has 65 New Year's resolutions to start 2024 on the right foot. Lots of great ideas, and what's more, they're all achievable, the site says. Start a gratitude journal, or as we might say, write a thank you list. Make time for your family. Build a better budget. Cook something new each week. Look at social media less frequently. I wonder, does the Bible have anything we could adopt as a New Year's resolution? Well, we've just had one, so let's look at that one in some detail. We've already seen it in the memory verse. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. There are three important things to remember here. Have you got them, those three points? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Let's think about what that means. I'd like us in groups to choose just one of these questions to talk about. So there are the questions. What would it look like for us to do justice and love kindness? A, in your family? What would it look like for us to do justice and love kindness in your school, work, or community? What would it look like for us to do justice and love kindness, love mercy, in our town? So, what I'd like you to do, in groups of three or four, to talk about one of those. Just quickly decide which one you're going to talk about, just for, let's say, 3 minutes, starting now. What are you going to do? Thank you. Okay, then, you've had 3 minutes. I hope you've found that useful. I'm not going to test out your answers. Thank you. I'm sure you've thought of some very helpful things. And I hope that's helped you to think about what Micah means. Because the world is not the way we would like it to be. Using other people unfairly for our own advantage, exploitation for the adults, tells us that something about the world is wrong. Taking people's freedom or oppression tells us that things are not the way they should be. And to be honest, our hearts tell us that we are not the way we're supposed to be either, or we would like to be. We easily choose greed over generosity. We easily choose our comforts over the needs of others. And that, in summary, is what Micah is about. And in this verse, Micah tells us those three things: do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. To help us remember that, stand up if you can, and I'll show you some actions to do with that verse. So, do justly. Hold out your hand like that. Do justly. We do justice with our hands. Love mercy. Put your hands on your heart. Love mercy. Walk humbly. Let's walk on the spot. Okay, let's do it again. So we're doing justly with our hands, we're loving mercy, and we're walking humbly with God. Okay, thank you. You may sit down. You'll not be surprised that I'm going to ask you to do that again later. So first of all, do justly. What is justice about? Actually, justice is all about being fair. I'm sure you talk about that all the time in your school or at your house. It's not fair. He took my game and he won't give it back. She's got my toy and she won't give it back. This longing for justice is not just a 21st century reality. It's a human reality. And it's not a new thing. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, was sent to speak God's word to God's people in the 8th century before Christ. That's 800 years before Jesus was born. And he wrote at the same time as Amos, Hosea, and Isaiah. They were all prophets in the Old Testament. You might be wondering what a prophet is. You might be thinking that a prophet is something to do with making lots of money. But this, folks, is not one of those prophets. It's a prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. So there's Micah. He's a prophet. He's not making a prophet. And a prophet is someone whose job is to speak God's message. He's got the loud hailer out because he needs to be heard and he wants to be heard. Micah was writing some 200 years before the Jewish people were taken into captivity in Babylon. He presents a true picture of their God who hates sin and loves the sinner. You see, God is a God who cares deeply about justice. In fact, he cares enough to judge injustice. One day, God will put everything right, and he wants you to be involved in working for justice for everybody. And the theme of the book is summarized in our text for today. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's Micah 6:8, by the way, just in case you've forgotten. Micah says in chapter 6, verse 7, that you can offer the things that are the best, the cream of the crop, calves a year old, thousands of rams, rivers of olive oil, your firstborn child. In today's language, you can give everything that means anything. Your time, your money, your stuff, going to church until you're blue in the face. But it's all a sham if it doesn't produce real love for your neighbors. You see, worship in the absence of justice does not please God. We can't really take part in worship if our heads and hearts are distracted. The prophets are not merely saying that God wants justice as well as prayer, mercy as well as praise, love as well as worship. What they're saying is that you can't have real, authentic worship unless justice is being carried out. So what does that mean, doing justly and loving mercy? It means to do what's fair and be kind. Sometimes we get this wrong. We don't really understand it. For example, the adults here will remember those dark days of September 2001. On September the 20th, 2001, President George W. Bush made a speech to a joint session of Congress. And this followed the attack on the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center on September the 9th, 2001. And he said, "Tonight, we're a country awakened to danger and called to defend freedom. Our grief has turned to anger and anger to resolution. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done." When we think of doing justice, we typically think of paying someone back for the wrong stuff that we've done. This is where we respond to criminal behavior by focusing on the punishment of those who have broken the law and on compensating the victims. In general, we think that the punishment should fit the crime. And yes, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is in Leviticus 21. Certainly, justice does involve giving those who do wrong their due. But doing justice is much more than that. It's also giving those who cannot stand up for themselves, the victims, the poor, the young, those who have no power, those who are easily hurt, those who nobody listens to their due as well. It is much more than punishing wrong. It's about creating a place where everything is right, a society where every last person in it, including the most vulnerable and its weakest, can flourish and thrive. That's what justice, according to the Bible, really means. God longs to put everything right. And what does that mean for us? How does that affect us? We should be trying to do what He wants if we're following Him. And I'm going to stop there and come back later to tell you some more. You'll never guess what my second point is. You remember the text. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let's do it again. Do justly with your hands. Love mercy and walk humbly with our God. What is this loving mercy all about? Some translations call it loving kindness, so that's a bit easier to understand. Here we are talking about unlimited love. In ancient Jewish culture, the word Micah used for kindness, hesed, could also be translated as unqualified love. Love without limits, stubborn, dogged love that says, "I refuse to give up on you, even if everyone else tells me that I should." It's a loving kindness that says, "I will not budge in my loyalty to you. I will stay with you, even in the moments when there's nothing in it for me." And that goes against what those around us are telling us. It is countercultural, to say the least. This is not me first. This is not God bless me, my wife, and our children, us four, and no more. When we put together these two phrases, do justice and loving kindness, we get a clear sense of what justice is all about. It's loving so deeply, so fully, and stubbornly that we refuse to budge until everyone, including the most needy in society, can flourish and thrive. Love never gives up. That is the nature of justice, and it puts many of our modern ideas of justice to shame. It puts me to shame. How do we know that God cares about justice? First of all, in the Old Testament, we learn that God has shown such overwhelming kindness, such hesed in Hebrew. And as people know that, he brought them up out of Egypt and freed them from the land of slavery. God's people are called to remember these great events of salvation. And this is the bedrock event in Israel's history. For centuries, they lived as slaves in Egypt. But God, in his kindness, in his hesed, that word again, has raised up Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to set them free. Trouble was that by Micah's time, despite everything that God had done, his people were effectively telling God, "We wish you weren't around here anymore. Look, we go to the temple, we do the offerings. What more do you want? Why be so demanding?" And this is why God asks in verse 3 of Micah 6, "My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me." The answer, of course, is that God hasn't done anything to bother them. They're the ones who have wearied him. God has loved his people and continues to love them. So that's the Old Testament picture. In the New Testament, had Micah been around, he would have pointed us back to a different bedrock event in the history of God's people. God came again in his stubborn love for his people, showing and calling for justice and loving kindness. That, of course, was the coming of Jesus. And once more, his people grew weary of him. They carried out the most unjust and least loving act of all time. They even put God's Son to death in our place. And yet God's love was as dogged as ever. God's overflowing hesed love, his loving kindness for us, just kept on giving for us. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of your love, leading onwards, leading homeward to your glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. All I need and trust is the deep, deep love of Jesus. So that's my second point about loving kindness. Thirdly, I want to talk about walking humbly. You remember? Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. How do we actually do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God? Let's face it, we're sinners and we're selfish and we care much of the time about ourselves. Where do we get the strength to do these things? Walking humbly means to recognize and accept our total dependence on God. God has given us everything, even the gift of life. And without God's grace and Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we would be separated from God and under judgment for the weight of our sin. God's love, his loving kindness, empowers us. God's justice motivates us. It's in remembering who God is that reshapes who we are. If we walk humbly with our God, we will love to be like our God. He will enable us through his Spirit to live lives which live out this loving kindness and justice directly with those around us. If we can stop looking at ourselves and look at others, especially those who are in need, we can catch a glimpse of what Micah meant to do justice and love mercy. So, I need some help to demonstrate this. I need some volunteers, but I'll tell you what you're going to be doing before you come up. I'm going to ask you to blow up a balloon and then tie a knot in it. So this is not a blowing up a balloon and bursting it job. This is blowing up a balloon and tying a knot in it, and then I'll tell you why we've done that. So, 10 volunteers of all ages, anybody who can blow a balloon up, and I've got a choice of colors of balloons. So anybody who'd like to go have a go at blowing up a balloon, like to come and choose a balloon. As many of you as there are balloons here. Help yourself to a balloon. Lots of people. You all tie knots in these balloons? That's brilliant. Thank you very much. And one more. Choose a balloon.
Oh, a red one.
Ah, yeah. You've got one there? You can choose a purple one if you like. Oh, sorry. Which one would you like? I like one of those. Yeah. Okay, I've got a question for you when you've blown up your balloon. What is it that makes a balloon work properly? And if you folks like to tell me, what is it that makes the balloon work properly? What do you need? Air! A balloon becomes what it's meant to be when it's full of air. Just like an empty balloon is not what it's meant to be and doesn't work until it's blown up, we're not what we're meant to be unless we're filled up with God's Spirit, like the air in the balloon. We all need the breath of God, His Holy Spirit, to come and fill us so that we can become what we're meant to be. God's Holy Spirit acts like the wind to come and blow through our lives and fill us up with His Spirit to make us the people, the girls and boys, the women and men, who want to do justice and love mercy. We need to constantly ask that God fills us again with His Spirit so that we can live a life where we can fight for justice and to love mercy. Okay, would you like to sit down and take your balloons with you? Thank you very much. Well done. So, it's God's Holy Spirit that acts like the wind to come and blow through our lives and fill us with His Spirit to make us the people that God wants us to be. And perhaps this morning, you'd like prayer because you know that you don't have the power to live this life. If you'd like someone to pray with you, there will be people to pray with you in the prayer corner after the service. We all need a fresh infilling of God's Holy Spirit to give us the strength to live His way, to seek justice and loving kindness. And perhaps you're beginning to catch a vision of what God is calling you to do to help those in need of justice and loving kindness. And you'd like prayer that He would show you more clearly what He wants you to do. Jesus is the one who brings justice to the nations. He is the hope of the nations. So remember what God called you to do. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Father, we realize that this might mean forcing ourselves to operate outside our normal rhythms and comfort zone. We pray that as we do this, we would feel less constrained and more free. Free us by your Spirit to worship you and walk with you throughout our lives to be the people you made us to be. Help us live lives which seek to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you every day. Amen.